You might like to turn in your Bible to Isaiah and chapter 55. In our study of Isaiah, here we are in the presence of God, and God has made a wonderful commitment. And Jeremiah lived through that commitment when God leveled the city, etc. And he is assured, was assured, that all of the future would take place. And here we are looking back and then looking ahead to what lies ahead. And Jeremiah is waiting for it, as it were, in God's holy heaven. Waiting for it. So, in order to latch on to Jeremiah and to lock into it, Isaiah chapter 55, and remember God repeats his statements again and again. He affirms his purposeful intentions to show forth his glory, and he's going to do so. And he reminds the hearing ear that he's going to keep doing it, saying it, because he's going to do it. And therefore, as we have God's word, he reminds us that God means what he says what he means. So we want to lock that in. Isaiah chapter 55, and picking up, if I can, in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So, Israel is out of fellowship with God. That's why they left God out of the picture. That's why Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. And so, but God warns the believing heart not to forget him and to keep in mind, number one, that your thoughts, our thoughts, and our ways are not God's. So, got to get that straight. Our thoughts and our ways and our works are not God. So everything that goes on, and then there's God. So I don't want to mix them up. I don't want to lose it. God, would you help me intensify that thought so that I understand my ways are mine and yours are yours. Therefore, Isaiah 55 in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For reason, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that helps me understand that my ways are way down here, and God's are way up there. Two different worlds, two different things. It'd be like the little two-year-old trying to have a discussion with the physicist or something about physics. Two different worlds. Two different things. Two-year-old doesn't know a bit about what he's saying. Therefore, verse 10, for reason, his ways are higher than our ways. And the reason, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, it doesn't go back up, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. That's an illustration of the weather, the rain, the snow. As the rain and snow falls to the ground, So does God's word come from God's heaven. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So his word, uncontested, he says something. The Bible in front of you, I hope, looking at the God's word, although it's a simple words in black and white in English for us. But God, in whose presence we sit, those words are yes and amen. They're cement. I don't see cement. I think I can, people change it, different translations, all kinds of things. I don't believe that. I turn that page. I never read that. Doesn't matter. God's word is uncontestable. Now, so doing that part, over to Psalm 46. And add to that, Psalm 46 and verse, Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46, staying in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 46, picking up, please, in verse 9. Remember the former things of old. Why? For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient old times, the things that are not yet done. I've said them many thousands of years long and before it even happens. Ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. I'm going to do exactly like I said. My word will not change as it falls to the ground, like the snow and the rain. It's going to fulfill everything I intended to. So here's Israel, and we share together. Israel left God out. So when it came to the temple, God is the God of the temple, but God isn't in the temple, and God isn't in the city, and God isn't in the people. God's missing. God's just missing. He's not there. And they have gone and turned in by way of idolatry, self-sufficiency, depending on their own selves, etc. They have left God totally out of the picture. So now, God, what is that like? What are they doing? Isaiah, and in chapter 29. Isaiah in chapter 29, what were they doing? They were playing God. What did Lucifer, son of the morning, the devil, do? What was his problem? He wanted to be like God. I want to be like God. I can't be God. I want to be like God. That's what I want. I want to be like God. I want to be able to do what I want, say what I want, go where I want, etc. Like to be able to do that. That's sin. Adam and Eve sinned. What did they do? They picked up the flavor of you can be independent of God, and you can be, what did the devil say to Eve? You can be like God. Genesis 3, 5. You can be like God. He's God and you're God. You enjoy independence, totally independence. So, now, what are we going to call that? Verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us and who knows us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. What shall the work say of him that made it? He made me not. The quarters, the piece of clay says, no one made me, I made myself. Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? The piece of wood says, I just came out of nowhere. I'm all by myself. That's it, the potter and the clay. They turned it all upside down. Or if I can't, Psalm 46. 45 better. I know it's near 46. Isaiah 45. Picking up that little thought again, if I may. And in Isaiah 45 and verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd say, strive with the potsherds. All the people can combine and do whatever they want of the earth. They do. That's why cults, religions, armies, nations, communism, socialism. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou? Or the work, he hath no hands. So, here we are looking, and God says that what did Israel do? They replaced God with their own system, by their own selves. They did it. And therefore, God, as we read in Jeremiah, God's going to go, and he is going to go and bring himself, make himself be able to be fully back in business with God, with Israel, as God. He's going to be able to do so. And in his wonderful righteousness, he's as we shared in Jeremiah 33:16, God is righteous, and he makes the city righteous. And Jeremiah 23, he is righteous. He makes the city righteous, the people righteous, because he is righteous. And if you took time to read, you could do it just to keep you busy. Go over to Ezekiel 48, just to remind yourself, what is the future going to be when everything in the kingdom, what's it going to be? God's cities, Jerusalem's going to be right, and the people are going to be right. And in Isaiah 48, you're going to recall, here's the wonderful temple, a wonderful city, and in the process, God, when it's all done, what are we looking at? Chapter 48, verse 35, and round about was 8,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. What are you going to call the city? The Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 33:16. Ezekiel 48:15, what are we going to call the city? The Lord is there. That's the difference. The difference, God is there. Hang on to that difference. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so God's wonderful, wonderful purpose, and we share together in Psalm 89 and all of that, that God is going to use everything in creation to go and bear witness and witness to all that he said, and thus to know the creation is going to bear witness to his person. The person of God is going to be a witness that he keeps his word. Creation says, I'm God. God says, I keep my word. And all of creation bears witness to who he is. God made it that way. Here's little old planet Earth in our galaxy spinning around here. And here's our little planet sitting there. And here we are, Earth, I should say. Here we are. And God has made it so that we can see. You couldn't do it other places, but God has put us in the right position in this circle, orbit, the galaxy, so that we can look up. And no matter where we are on Earth, we can look out into space. no matter where we are on the planet, you can look into space. You can't do that some places, but this planet, you can look any direction and see space, the stars, the universe. He made all of that to adorn, to give an atmosphere for that little ball called Earth to be in. And all of that creation is made and surrounds Earth. It makes a home, H-O-M-E, makes a home for Earth, surrounded by all the galaxies, all of them, and here's our little home. And God said, all of that is my witness. It witnesses what? That I made Earth. I had a wonderful plan. Genesis 1:1-2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And God did it all. He did it. Now hang on. Now, keep that in mind, because God's going to use that, because that atmosphere, the home, the universe that surrounds this earth as we sit there, all of that, all of us people that have lived on earth from Adam and Eve to the end, millennium, what are we going to have? Everyone, Adam, seeds, Adam looked up to the sky. Abraham looked up to the sky. And that's what he did. And that God's witness. The stars, the North Star that you can see up there, north, is due north that way, is the same star that Abraham saw. And all of the universe, and all of us humans, we die off, but the witnesses never die. The witnesses never quit telling you he's the creator. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, do a little, that what you know, let's review it. Over to Romans 1. So you put it together again and again. Romans in chapter 1. And you will note, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of them that hold the truth. They're having and holding, the verb, having and holding the truth in an unrighteous way. They take what they know and don't want to know it for what it says. They won't believe, they turn it upside down. They call good evil, evil good, etc. Darkness, night, light, darkness. We turn it all upside down. We don't want to hold it rightly as it is. Verse 26, 19. That which may be known of God, so it isn't a secret, is manifest, made public, clear, plain, I-N, in them. So there's no human being, we've said it 5,000 times, there's no human being that's born on planet Earth that God doesn't make himself known. So he didn't ask the Eskimo to make himself known. He didn't ask the people in New York City. God's going to make himself known in a most wonderful way. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For the reason they know it, for God hath showed it unto them. So God did it. So if you're going to say, well, I didn't do it, his mother didn't do it, his father didn't do it. No, God did it. God did it. The Buddhists didn't do it, and the pantheism didn't do it. God did it. So that ends the argument, ends the whole thing. Now, so therefore, even more so, watch. And the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, and Godhead, his wonderful deity, so that they are without excuse. The birds, the bugs, the bees, the stars. God made everything to adorn and make an atmosphere for Earth to live in, to be existent. and verse 21. That without excuse, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. See, it isn't a question. It doesn't say they never knew God. When they did know God, they chose not to know God. What is Israel doing? They know better. They're choosing not to involve God, who they know, they're leaving him out. That's what they're going to do. Now, and therefore, and they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 31. And Jeremiah. And that should help you remember, to remind us, if someone says, well, I don't know God, no one ever told me. No, they may not have, but you did know once, and you put aside what you knew. And you can do that, you know. Our mind is quite capable of going and eliminating what we don't want to remember and what we don't want to know. And just get rid of it. But I don't know God. Wrong, you did. You chose not to. Somewhere, you chose not to. Now, so therefore, Jeremiah and chapter 31, God's wonderful covenant with Israel, what's he going to do in a most wonderful way in that covenant? And you'll notice it, verse chapter 31 may go directly to verse 33. 31:33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I'm going to make it very wonderfully what? I'm going to make my inward presence, my personal presence, very, very simple and clear. Not only the creation, but if the human heart would receive me and believe me, Then, and Israel at this point will, Jeremiah 31:33, God will do a wonderful thing in saving them and giving them a wonderful, wonderful inside-outside relationship to God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, you're going to go and you're going to make it, you're going to make sure the surety is going to be assured, affirmed, certain, and you're going to do it, back over to 33, Jeremiah 33, and you're going to do it, if I can, you're going to do it for David and for the house of the priest, and we read that in chapter 33. Verse 18, but thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man on the throne of the house of Israel. Verse 18, neither shall the priest, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offering. The priesthood and Davidic, David is going to be a ruler in the millennium coming up after the tribulation, and David is going to do that. God said it. My word shall not return unto me void. That's what I planned. You planned it, God. Are you going to do it? That's what I'm going to do. Don't say, here's the Davidic covenant, Second Samuel chapter 7. Here's the covenant. Are you going to keep that? I am. Going to keep it. Going to keep all of them. That's what I'm going to do. But I didn't ask anybody. That was my plan. That's what I'm doing. Now, either people line up with what I'm doing and understand and go with it, or they leave it out, like Israel's going to do, and end up with a leveled city and no temple. That's what they're going to do. Like the people down the street where you live. the people that may work with you, may even live with you. They don't know. They don't know. They don't know. No. So therefore, God, you're going to do this wonderful, wonderful thing. So sliding along as we did, chapter 33, and we shared together in verse 19, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day, remember Genesis 1:5, the morning and the evening were the first day and night, and God's going to keep them. And day and night is day and night, day and night. And day and night was there for Attila the Hun, and the same day and night is for us. Tomorrow morning is going to arise, and Attila the Hun had the same thing. That's what we're going to have. All the same. All the same. Buildings the same. People are different. They're built the same. Therefore, God said, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should not be day and night in their seasons, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign over his throne, and the Levites, the priests, my ministers. I'll break it. If you can say, the day will, tomorrow morning the sun won't rise. God said, I'll break my covenant. But I'll have to break it. That's my witness. When I said it to David, 2 Samuel 7, I said it in front of all my witnesses. All the universe was witnessing. Remember our Lord said as he enters Jerusalem, Matthew 21 and that, and they're doing, and then some of the, don't have them do all the fancy stuff. They're going to crucify you. No, God said if they don't do it, the stones will cry out. The stones in the road will cry. They're witnesses. Witness us. It's all a witness. All a witness. And before the witnesses, God said, I told you what I'm going to do. And until my witnesses know that I don't break my word, until my witnesses disappear, because they said God keeps his word, until they disappear, all my promises are yes and amen. Period. I didn't ask anybody. I didn't talk to anybody about it. I don't do anything. It's just so. Plain so. Whether you like it or not, believe it or not, understand it or not, is immaterial. The laws of gravity are the same whether you understand them or not. Whether you believe them or not, they're the same. My word and what I'm going to do is consistent and doesn't change. I want to lock that in. That's what Israel, God, what are you doing? I'm confirming, affirming for Jeremiah and the believing heart. When the people don't say, God isn't going to do it, God said, don't believe them. And said, no one believes in the church like that anymore. But God does. No one feels that way. But God does. God does. And God isn't going by what people say. The whole world, think of how many people believed in Genesis 6. You got a whole world, whoo, lots of people. How many believed? God, they didn't. They, Noah walked with God. They didn't, other people didn't want to bother with God. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, in verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither so will the sand of the sea be measured. So will I multiply the seed of David and my servant and the Levites that minister unto me, because I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it all happen. I'm going to make it. As the host of heaven, you can't number them. And we already know that, 1,000 different ways to say it. You can't number them. and the sand of the sea cannot be measured. In other words, the word measure is to spread, to take your, to make a measurement. And if you had a cloak like they would have, and took your cloak and use your cloak to cover all the sand, you don't have a big enough cloak to cover all the sand of the sea. You can't measure it. You can't count the host of heaven. I made it. So you'll never, never, never say, oh, we understand. We are unsure. Where do we come from? Maybe we came from Pluto. Who knows? We may find a little something up there that says, anyway, now, having said all that, so here, as I read, God's going to keep his wonderful, wonderful word in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And that's what God's going to do, and that's what he's going to do without any question at all. Back over to 31 and see, God has been saying it, just we looked at different places, but just to remind yourself, chapter 31 and in verse 37. Thus saith the Lord, 31:37. If heaven can be measured, and the fountains of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. But you can't, you can't. I made everything, my witnesses. I made my witnesses so awesome that you can never say, I've got the stars in my hand and I've got the messianess and I can get it. So I can put it in my little book and I've got it. You know, got it. You never got it. You never can get it. I made my witnesses so awesomely awesome. They bear witness to an awesome God in an awesome way. Now you're going to do that, God, yes. I'm going to keep my word. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And add chapter 33. In verse 23. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, what were they saying? Two families which the Lord hath chosen, Israel, the 10 and the 2 tribes, 2, 10 and 2, 12, hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before me. In other words, the unsaved people, unsaved Israelites, there are Israelites, dear, wonderful Israelites now, that don't believe. They don't believe. They're a Jew. That's their background. They don't believe. They don't believe that it's all going to work out. They just don't believe it. And the Gentiles that aren't Jews, they don't believe it either. They don't believe it. Israel will never become the great nation that it once was, even more so. It'll never happen. The Jews say it, some Jews, and Gentiles. They don't believe. God says, consider what they're saying out there. That's what they're saying. Now, slide on, if I can. Israel should be no more a nation before them. Verse 24. Verse 25. And in verse 25, thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, the decreed them to be in existence, if I haven't done that, if I haven't made them, I'm the only God, the only creator. They just didn't happen. They just didn't happen. I made them. I made them. And by the way, I made in Adam each human being that will be born on planet Earth. I made you, each one of us. I made you. I made you. In your presence, I made you. I made you. Now, having said that, verse 26. Then, if you can get that changed, if you can get it removed, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David, my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And for I will not cause their captivity to return to have the full benefits and have mercy on them. I will not do it. I just won't do that. Now, hang on. And you can see the word captivity because sometimes you think of the enemy capturing you. Well, that's true, but there's the other side of it. And to see that little word, if you need it, if it helps you, go back over to Job and chapter 42. Job and 42. Okay, Job 42, and you'll pick it up in verse 10. 42, verse 10, Job, captivity, a definition to help you. And the Lord turned the captivity, there's the same word, the fortunes, all the benefits. The Lord returned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends also, that the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. God put him through everything, and then God doubled everything. God took away the apple tree and gave him 10 apple trees. God did it. He learned his lesson, and he honored God. Now, having said that, Jeremiah chapter 33, and keeping that in mind, if you would, God's going to go in his most wonderful way and do what he does as only he can do. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in the light of God's wonderful grace, and in the process, God's witnesses are there in heaven. They're all there. They aren't going to go away. They never go away. Never go away till God creates a new heaven and a new earth. They're all there. So God, you're going to go, and I'll not cast away, I'll not reject my people, I'm going to honor my word, that's what I'm going to do. And I'll keep my word, as I said. So now, having said that, God, you're going to keep your word that you do. And when you do so, you're going to go, and remember, your thoughts and ways are high in the heavens, and your word and what you do is based on your personal decision to make and do it, say it, and make it all happen. That's what, God, you're going to do in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, God, and you have all these wonderful, wonderful thoughts that you have in the light of that. So, God, here's your word, and you aren't going to change it. Nope, not going to change my word. So what are we going to know? Well, God, you said it. Go over with me, please, Romans in chapter, hold your finger there and go over to Revelation, and Revelation in chapter 4. And in Revelation chapter 4, they pick up, remember you know all these from this, God's in church is in heaven, and looking to God, chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, says everybody in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure or thy will are and were created. Everything. So, everything has to work out for why God created it. Why did God create you? Why did God create me? He created us for a wonderful purpose. all the stars and the universe and night and day, all of everything bears witness to the Creator. The Creator created His for His wonderful purpose. God created us in His image and likeness to be able to enjoy His wonderful person in the life of a believing believer as they learn to enjoy their Creator and their Savior in an awesome way. That's what God's done. And all of that bears witness to it. So when you know, in the light of that, over to Romans now, Romans chapter 11. God created it. And all the hours, it's going to work out in a most wonderful way. And you'll recall chapter 11. And picking up in the light of all of it, picking up in the verse 33, 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Down to 36. I'll read even verse 35. Who hath first given to him, and it shall not be recompensed unto him again? No one told God, helped God in any way. Verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. God's the Creator. God makes it all work through him. And all of it is there for what? For God to be God. That's what's wrong. That God could be God. 1 Corinthians 15. He wants what? To be God. He's a Creator. That's it. He's all to bear witness. And over to Romans 8. And you'll pick up again. Romans 8, you'll catch it in verse 34. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us? Now, God, you said, if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd save me. And we believe. We get saved. That's a wonderful thing. Why do we get saved? Because we believed God's word based on the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. And we get saved in a wonderful way, to be wonderfully saved. And therefore, what are we going to be able to know? And we know what? That can anyone change you being saved? How's that? Can anyone make you be unsaved? How's that? Who's going to make you be unsaved? Well, I could make yourself. No, you can't even make yourself unsaved if you're really saved. You can't do that. And in the process, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. God, you're there. God. And the whole world, universes, bear witness to his wonderful word. Now, in closing, over to the Gospel of John. John chapter 5, verse 24, and remember, verily, verily, verily means amen, 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 amen. And you put two amens together, amen, amen. God is saying, I told you, I'm telling you again, with great emphasis. I'm stamping it, and then I'm putting a stamp down all over again. I'm going to do what I said, the way I said it. That's what I'm going to do. Amen. Amen. And he says that 25 times in the Gospel of John. Now, my point, verse 24. What are you saying, God? I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that's going to believe has everlasting life. He that's believing is never going to be condemned, like with the world. Number three, they're going to have eternal life. They have it the minute they believe. John chapter 10, in closing this time. John 10. And you catch it. John chapter 10. Picking up, please, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, which we just read. God does it. He does it. And the whole world bears witness to what he did. So when a little heart believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives them as a Savior, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to save them. And the whole world bears witness. And their mother and father look, and friends and family look, and say, I don't see any difference. But all the heavens and universe bear witness that God is there. No one else can see, but God bears witness. You see, there's no witnesses. God, your word, our words and thoughts and ways are way down here, and God's way up in the heavens. God said, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Why not? I and my Father are the same hand, and no one can take you out. Who's going to take you out if you're saved? Who's going to take you? No one's going to take you. No one. They aren't going to do it. No. God's witness. Where's your assurance? Where's your certainty? It's in God's wonderful person and his awesome witness of the universe that is all created to give a home to surround the earth. And all of that is there to bear witness to God's yes and amen. God's going to say, God says what he means and means what he says. I need to line up with it. Israel, Jeremiah 33, needs to line up with God's awesome program in God's awesome way, even though it's all in ruins. Here we are in our little old lives. Not much. No. But, God in his wonderful grace saves us. And God, look, we look at our hands, we look at our body, we look at our world, we look at everything. And we don't see any real anything. But God said, I didn't ask you to look at yourself. Look unto me and be ye saved. Looking unto the Lord as we run the race. Stop looking. I'm taking care of it. I didn't ask. I want, without you can't do it, without turning there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you are a vessel of dust, and the power in that vessel of dust is God in Christ, and that's why it's a sure thing. That's nothing to do. So God says it over and over again. The sun, the moon, the stars, the day and night, everything is all my witness that I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And here we are sitting here, and we don't have much and look like much, maybe. No. But God's going to change us. Even so, come.